This is logged in on November 25th, 2023, Eastern Standard Time. Sensitive material has been breached and it is now in front of the public. This is very sensitive documentation and the world will be in total chaos if leaked, and it is now leaked. All of it. Not one document, all of it. Place of exploitation, Forbidden Knowledge Television. This must be stopped.
Welcome to 2023 Forbidden Knowledge Conscious Awards, live from Miami. Are you ready? Please welcome to the
Hey everyone, I'm Elizabeth Carson and I'm thrilled to introduce to you an extraordinary weekend event happening right here in Miami, Florida on August 3rd and 4th. It's none other than the second annual Forbidden Conscious Awards weekend. After the tremendous success of last year's event with over 1,200 attendees from around the globe, we knew we had to make this year's event even more spectacular. On Saturday, we have a captivating conference lined up featuring world-renowned speakers such as Muhammad Ibrahim, Merkaba 13, Robert Grant, Billy Carson, and a woman's panel hosted by yours truly. Following the conference, we'll set sail for a VIP yacht cruise at sunset, where you'll have the chance to mingle with your favorite nominees and celebrity guests, all hosted by 19 Keys. Sunday, August 4th, kicks off with a Forbidden Knowledge book publishing signing event, followed by the highly anticipated second annual Forbidden Conscious Awards. This is a red carpet affair, so come dressed to impress. Remember last year, we surprised a lucky guest with an Audi A4 during the awards, and this year, we're upping the ante with a chance to win a Mercedes-Benz. So make sure you secure your tickets early. This event is sure to sell out quickly. I cannot wait to see each and every one of you there for what promises to be an unforgettable weekend of education, inspiration, celebration, and glamour.
Hey, 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 welcome, hey. Welcome to this pop-up podcast on this beautiful Tuesday, late afternoon. My name is Elizabeth Carson, and today I have a very special guest. I know that you guys liked the last interview that I did, or that Nikki did. Mm-hmm. She interviewed me about maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and you guys liked it. So I appreciate it. And of course, I want to have her back on my podcast, because not only is this my girl, but she is a wealth of information. She is a licensed therapist, and I'll just let you talk about yourself.
Okay. Well, hi, guys. Yes, my name is Nikki. I'm a licensed therapist. I've been a therapist since 2012. I'm also a life coach and a meditation teacher. So I'm all about health and wellness and finding ways to heal that are outside of just, you know, taking medication, prescriptions, and things like that. So I am so excited about being on the podcast again and sharing some tips and tools that I've learned and that I share with other people that I work with too. So thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, quickly.
And she's my girl too. So, helps me.
Quickly, let's talk about the industry. So you said something really interesting to me today, because I was like, should I put my kid in therapy? Right. And you immediately, and I'm talking to Instagram too, you guys. So don't mind me if I'm looking over this way too, but right. You told me, like, don't do that, because they will do what?
Give you a label. Anytime a therapist has someone in their office, we have to give some type of diagnosis. And I am a proponent of trying everything that you can with your children prior to taking them to therapy to get that diagnosis, unless you know that they actually need it. So sometimes situations come up as you're raising your children and you may question whether or not they need therapy because of some of their behavior and actions. But really, you just want to try, you know, different things. Talk to them. Communication is so key. So many times we talk at our kids.
Yes.
We don't talk to them. So talking to them and seeing where their head is at, sometimes it's just growing through hormones, you know, just kind of going through things.
So, yes.
And kids don't come in the world knowing exactly what to say and how
Thank
to say
you.
It.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it's like we have to tell them and share that with them. So
you know, I thought that was so interesting. You said that you have to diagnose.
Yes.
So in the industry, guys, right? The industry that I speak against, because I'm so oh, yes, they diagnose you. These people and school will teach you to have your kids sitting down in a classroom for 6 to 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Stop moving. Don't talk. Sit down. Shut up. But don't do drugs because drugs are bad. Although you need some Adderall because you can't pay attention because you can't sit still. I mean, what type of backwards message are we?
And that's a very common diagnosis, ADHD. I mean, usually that's the first one.
Yeah.
You have a child without even
children
watching them for a year,
think
2 years.
About it.
Yeah.
Think about it. A child is full of what? Energy.
Excitement, energy, excitement. Optimism.
And we tell these kids, no, you got to sit down and shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. Even though that's the last thing that a young child wants to do.
They can't.
They're full of energy.
You're still trying to manage
Thank you.
All of this, right?
Yes.
And trying to figure it all out.
Yes. So that was just a little side piece right there. I just wanted to touch on that. I thought that was very interesting that you have to go in with a diagnosis. I just, it's just sad the world that we live in, but that's why we're here talking about it, trying to make some little, you know, changes. So, I thought that was really interesting. Just coming from a professional standpoint of the industry that, you know, is so abusive. And I will call them abusive. The industry is abusive.
Right.
Because how are you going to put a child on a narcotic? Like,
right away, you know, unless you, I mean, you've tried everything that you can, because there's sometimes it's needed. But like my mom, she came to me with my niece and was concerned about her. And she was like, okay, she needs a therapist. I wanted to get a diagnosis or what have you. And I said, Mom, she's 9 years old. Like, give it some time, you know. And her thing is that she was just hyperactive.
Yeah.
You know, so she was bored. You know, sometimes also when kids are hyperactive, if they're bored, the content doesn't challenge them enough. So they're finishing real quick or they decide not to do it because it's too easy. So I would say try all the different things, you know, talk to counselors, talk to friends, talk to whoever, their aunts, uncles, grandparents, and, you know, let it be the last resort to put them on medication.
Yes.
Because once you start it, as we all know, you start taking that medication, it becomes a lifestyle.
It becomes a lifestyle, not only a lifestyle, but it also becomes habitual. And then it shows and it teaches that child that, hey, when you're feeling like a certain way, just pop this pill and it's going to be all better.
Right.
So it's backwards programming. It never, Western medicine never addresses the root of the issue. They address the symptom.
Right.
Which never gets to the root. We have to solve what the root is. We cannot just cover things over with Band-Aids and think that everything is going to be better. Thank you, Billy.
Right.
Hey.
Thank you for your support.
Yes. So, you know, you have to get to the root of these issues.
Yeah.
Western medicine does not address the root. That's why I've strayed away. And I'm not telling you if you're shot, you know, and you're bleeding out, go to the hospital. Okay.
Right.
Go to the hospital. But for other reasons, I mean, try to get to the root of these issues, which they'll never. And there's even people who have worked in the industry that have come out and said they've quit the industry because they will never go to the root of the problem. Because when people are healthy, they don't get paid.
Right.
There's no money in healthy people.
Right.
There's only money in people that are sick.
Right.
So they will never promote or find ways to really enhance and bring someone back to health.
Right.
They will keep you between sick and healthy so you can keep on coming and paying them for all of these medications that you got to take. And I also heard a different stat the other day. Most Americans are on 5 different prescription drugs
a day.
Do you know how many people are in the U.S.? Just to function.
Yeah.
Adults, 300 million, I think, were around in the U.S.
Right.
300 million people. And on average, people are on 5 different medications per day. Do you know how rich
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that one of my prescription drugs? Look. So I get migraines. They cost. Okay. I get migraines. And my prescription medicine for migraines, because no insurance, costs, guess how much? Guess how much for 12 pills? 12 pills.
$1,400. Oh, wow.
For 12 pills.
Yeah.
I mean, this is craziness.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
And that's the reason that I kind of pulled back from the profession. You know, I'm doing more life coaching and meditation teaching and, of course, working with you guys because it's like, you know, it's too much. You know, it's constantly rehearsing the stories and different things that people have experienced. And it can become overwhelming because as therapists, we go through things too, right? Because we're human, right? So it's like, yeah, it's too much. And then on top of that, you're, like I said, you're diagnosing every single person that comes in. And I know I have to say to myself, as I share this diagnosis with this person, they're going to have this label and carry it as long as they feel that they need to, which can sometimes be their life, their entire life, you know? And sometimes things are situational.
Yeah.
You know, it could be you're going through a divorce and your child is anxious. You're anxious, whatever the case may be. So do you need medication for the rest of your life because of that? I don't think so.
No.
But, you know, it just depends. It's circumstantial and situational. It depends on the person.
Yes.
And everybody's different.
Absolutely.
Everybody's different.
Absolutely.
So we can't put them in a box and say, okay, this is your medication.
No.
This works for majority, so it's going to work for you. We don't know that.
Exactly.
You know, it's a lot of trial and error.
And on top of that, 80% of the time, depression medication does not work.
Yeah.
80% of the time. It doesn't do anything. So you're changing around your brain chemicals, your neurochemicals, because you're on a prescription because you think that you need something to feel better.
Right.
When really you might just need some sunlight.
I was just about to say, get in nature.
You might just need some vitamin D. You know, if you're low in vitamin D, that's a big reason why.
Yes.
Depression. So it's like we need to start as a community addressing the roots of issues, not only with health, but everything, all of it.
If
you
have
holistic approaches,
right.
And to find the root of these issues, find the root of issues within yourself, right? Mentally, spiritually, and physically. That is how you elevate.
Yeah. And then sometimes it can be overwhelming because we have a whole list of things that we need to work on. And so then I find that people turn to medication because it's like, oh, it's too much. I'm just going to go and do the, you know, a different route, which is going to hopefully, like you said, put a Band-Aid on it. But take it one at a time. Like, give yourself grace. You didn't get this way overnight.
Right.
You know, a lot of different traumatic situations and experiences probably happened up to that point. So one at a time. Start working on it.
One at a time.
Yeah.
I like
just
that.
One issue at a time.
Exactly. You know? That's what I talk about. Don't overwhelm yourself with all these different things. I always say micro changes create macro outcomes.
I love that.
Don't overwhelm yourself. When I talk, I'm like, you should do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And I'd be
She's
all excited.
So wealth of knowledge. I'm like, what?
No, I get so excited about things. And so I just blub it all out. But then I revert and tell people, okay, just do one thing for now. Just get up and start writing. That's it. Just implement one thing. Do that for 2 weeks. And when you get comfortable and that becomes a habit, then add on the next thing. Then add on the next thing. So you don't overwhelm yourself. Because in the long run, even if you only stuck to writing, guess what? That micro change in your daily process will create a macro outcome. And you'll look back and be like, wow.
Too.
Yes. Yeah. Consistency.
Being consistent.
Absolutely.
But that's what I love about our friendship too, is because, you know, I have all this book knowledge, right? But then it's like, oh my gosh, all these other things are out here that I didn't even know. And so when I met you initially, you were telling me so many different things I could try, biohacking and things to just regulate my central nervous system that I hadn't learned anywhere in school. And I was like, oh my God. And it was working.
Yeah.
You know, immediately faster than all these other strategies
that
know?
They teach you in school, because they don't teach you in school how to heal people. Because again, reverting back to Western medicine, they don't want you to be healthy because there's no money in healthy. So they want to keep you between sick and healthy. So that's what they teach. So it's not even the therapist's fault, guys. It's not even the doctor's fault. They are literally conditioned to believe that these ways are the ways and these ways are the ways that work.
Right.
But it's like, it doesn't, right? So it's us. It's us that need to wake up and realize that we have the power to change our reality.
And I like what you said. If it's just writing, be consistent with that.
Yes.
That one thing, and keep doing that. Try it for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and then see what happens and see if you see a shift.
Yes.
Because we're after the shifts. The changes, the slight micro changes that we end up with the macro outcome. And so, yeah, I would say just start with whatever. And, you know, sometimes I find too, Liz, that a lot of these issues that our kids are showing up with, it leads to self-sabotage as an adult.
Yes.
Because when we were talking the other day, a lot of times it was childhood. You know, I know with me not being raised by my birth father, you know, he basically left us when I was three. Mm-hmm. And then I reconnected with him when I was 15. And so that kind of in my mind was like, oh, you know, the lie that we tell ourselves, right? I'm not good enough. Mm. And the rejection and all those kind of things. And so I bought into that for a very long time. And I started looking back. Now I can look back and see how I self-sabotage myself with this and relationships, friendships, you know, jobs, all that kind of stuff because of the lack of love for myself.
Yes.
You know, even as a therapist, that's why I say, no, there's no therapist on here that in this world that's perfect. You know, we all have.
Oh, we all have things. And why do people in the first place want to even get into therapy as a career?
Right.
I wanted to get into therapy. Why? Because I wanted to help myself.
Right.
Because I was not okay. So a lot of therapists out here, they want to learn how to help themselves. Exactly. And then they help other people by the strategies they learn. But in a lot of instances, I mean, all of these people like are people that are diving into something because they are lacking some way, shape or form.
Absolutely. So that's why you're drawn to that because you know that you can eventually heal yourself and then heal others too.
Exactly.
The words that you said.
So you said something and it's so important. Self-sabotage created by childhood things that happen. Mm-hmm. Right. So mm-hmm. I want to touch on that a little bit. So self-sabotage, when you got your dad just left you at three, right?
Right.
So now at 3 years old, put yourself there, put yourself at 3 years old. And as a child, how does that feel to you? What do you feel like?
I can actually remember a time where I was with him and it was when he left.
Mm.
And I felt so alone. Like I can picture the room. I can picture him saying, I'm out of here. You know, all of that as a three-year-old, which is amazing.
So that
to me, it felt so empty. It felt like I'm not good enough. I'm not loved.
Uh-huh.
I'm not wanted by, you know,
the
males.
Only people that, right, males.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And the person that's supposed to love you. One of the only people.
Me. Yeah. And then to find out when I was older that he raised his other children.
See, that's a double whammy.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, well, what's wrong with me?
That's a double whammy.
And so, but I reconnected with him later in life. And I asked him that question before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Dad. But I asked him, I said, I don't understand, because by that time I was a parent, guys, and I just knew how important it was for me to be there and be present in my kid's life. And he said that he basically looked at my stepfather and felt like he was a better choice because of his lifestyle and things that he had going on.
That gave me chills.
I respected him for that, and it gave me so much peace and closure because I thought, that's
empathy.
That's love, because I thought, this man looked at his situation and could see that she's better off without me.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think that's the case in a lot of, you know, with parents that don't raise their kids.
So many different things you just touched on that I want to go deep with. So let's revert back to you as a three-year-old. You're feeling abandoned, alone, abandoned by males, just by yourself. So when you are young, you are conditioned, right? Mm-hmm. From 0 to 7 years old, plus ancestral stuff, you're conditioned. So your conditioning was, love is abandonment.
Right.
Men don't want me.
Right.
I'm not going to get taken. I'm not safe. That's what love was to you. That's what was taught to you.
Absolutely.
What love was. So for you as an adult, did you find yourself self-sabotaging relationships because you're more comfortable and this might be unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
We self-sabotage to control the outcome.
Woo! You said that the other day.
Yes.
When you said that.
We self-sabotage to control the outcome so that we know what's going to happen because the unknown is so scary. So
that part.
So because you were taught that love is abandonment and being treated like shit and just people leaving you, that's
choosing
what
others.
You're going to attract because that's what is familiar to you.
Right.
So what is familiar to you is going to be more comfortable for you. And that's going to be what you know. So that's what you are going to create in your life.
Right.
Whether it be toxic or not toxic. So you were taught love in a toxic way.
Right.
So for you to control things and to be able to feel comfortable within whatever it was that you were doing, unconscious or conscious, you self-sabotage to control that outcome.
Absolutely.
Which we all do, you guys.
Absolutely. It was so profound when you said that because I was like, wow, you know, I had always thought that I was trying to protect myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, I feel like the relationship
that is protecting
is kinda,
yourself.
Right.
But in a toxic way.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. I'm like, okay, well, I see that they don't like me anymore. They don't love me anymore. And with friendships too, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't the best friend and I realized that. And that's, you know, I was thinking about like a way to have a visual for you guys. And I was thinking about the mirror, right? When we look at a mirror, we look at ourselves, we see the reflection back in ourselves.
Yes.
And I did not take the time when I was younger to do that. Now I'm like, yeah, you know, I can look in the mirror and see that, yeah, I was doing that to control the situation. Because at the bottom line, I did not want to get hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Fear.
So you run before they run.
Absolutely. Let me shut this door and let me pack my bags. Let me get out of here because
yes,
it's looking like it's going to go sour. And it's not anything I'm proud of, but I know I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I've talked to thousands of people, right? So I know that this is something, like you said, that
I'm a ghoster. I'm a ghoster.
We do. Yeah.
I ghost. Right. I used to ghost before my lovely relationship with my husband.
You said the lovely relationship.
My lovely relationship.
Yeah.
But no.
Your abundant husband.
I used to ghost people because it's the same like you. We have a very similar story, you guys. Very mm-hmm. similar. I was adopted, given away at birth. What I knew love to be was abandonment. That's mm-hmm. less love for me.
Right.
So, I mean, I would create these situations and where that type of abandonment would start happening, right? To freak mm-hmm. me out because that's what I was attracting. That's what I was comfortable in. You always attract mm-hmm. what you're comfortable in. Not really even right. what you want. Until you heal, you don't attract what you want. Right. You attract what you are.
Right.
What you are.
A mirror to yourself.
Yes. So what I knew was abandonment. I would attract relationships where I would feel like I was getting abandoned. And then in turn, I would self-sabotage that relationship because I would want to control the outcome before they abandon me. Well, I'm abandoning your ass. So.
Right. Right. I'm the first one out of here, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah. this is so
real
interesting.
Stuff
that happens to us at 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, it's still affecting us as adults decades later. So we have to figure out how to get outside of that, how to grow from the self-sabotage way. Because,
right.
I mean, self-sabotaging does not serve anybody.
It doesn't.
It doesn't serve
it doesn't.
You. It doesn't serve the people around you.
No.
It doesn't serve your family. So how do we get out of self-sabotage?
I think that's just, we start with the awareness, right? And realizing
yes.
what we're doing. We look at the patterns of behavior mm-hmm. that we've had, the repetitive patterns of behavior, right?
Yes.
And we just say, you know what? I'm be the observer. Like, why did I leave this relationship? You know, and maybe you did have valid reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about just romantic relationships. I'm talking about friendships too.
Yeah.
Why did I cut the cord with this? Why do I not want to have connection with this person anymore? And when we realize that, you know, we can get to the core root, and sometimes it is that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next step I would say is communicate.
Yeah.
You know, let that person know, hey, this is how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it may be something surfacing from my past or what have you. And I just want to be honest with you because I do love you and I want to keep this relationship going.
Yes. So, communication is everything.
Communication, yeah.
I love that you said the roots, because once you can be self-aware and mm-hmm. figure out the root of whatever issue it is,
right,
then you can begin to heal that part of yourself. But if
right.
you are unaware of the root of it, and you're still just scratching the surface at the symptoms and placing a band-aid here, placing a band-aid there, then you
right.
never really heal from that situation
right.
and you'll just keep attracting the same thing.
Right.
You have to learn, find the root, grow outside of the root so you can learn to attract different,
right.
a different situation, because life will keep throwing the same toxic bullcrap at you until you
same
learn your
thing.
Lesson.
Sometimes it's even procrastination and self-sabotage.
Yes.
You know that you're supposed to be doing something.
Yes.
You know, not believing in yourself 100%. You know, it's like you have to be focused on becoming better,
one.
Evolving.
That's a
in
big
any
one.
Way that you can.
Self-sabotage. Procrastination
right.
is self-sabotage. That equates to self-sabotage.
Right.
Who procrastinates sometimes? I do.
Yeah.
I procrastinate
right
sometimes, usually. And when I can get to the root and figure out why I'm procrastinating, is because I'm a perfectionist. Because I was, you know, by my adoptive family, I love my parents. Now I love daddy, rest in peace. And I love my mom. She's my rock.
Yes.
But at the same time, they were so strict on schooling. I needed this done and needed to get A's in school and best school, best grades. So I learned to be a perfectionist because
yeah.
that's how I received love from my adopted parents.
Right.
So, I mean, now when I procrastinate, it's me self-sabotaging because I'm afraid of not being perfect in that project. Mm-hmm. And ooh, so I'll just keep looking away. I'm like, I'm going to do this later. I'm going to do this a little bit later. No, fear. I can't. It's fear.
Yeah.
It's fear-based.
I don't know how to do it 100%, so I'm just going to wait till the last minute.
Yeah, exactly. But it's fear.
We've all done it.
Yes.
We've all done it.
Yes.
But I think, you know, just focusing on the why and the root cause and then finding different strategies to, you know, fix the problem as much as you can. What do you think is a good strategy
to fix self-sabotaging? Yeah,
to stop self-sabotaging.
So awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And for me to get over my procrastinational ways. Right. Is that a word? Procrastinational? I don't know. I just made it a word. So it is.
Yeah,
now.
That's good.
So for me, it's I'm aware that I'm procrastinating. Mm-hmm. So now the awareness, number one. Number two, I'm like, okay, all the things that I want to procrastinate on, I'm going to make myself do first.
That part.
I'm going to get through this first. Because I realize what I'm trying to do and what my automatic reaction is, which I don't want to do that. I need to get over this hump. So what I'll do is I'll just knock the things out at the first thing of the day.
Yeah.
Get it over with. And then once you feel that and you've grown above that and you don't have to worry about that anymore, you feel so much better.
Right.
It's like a weight is like, boop.
You take the feelings and emotions out of it and you just start, you know, being proactive and getting it done.
Yes. And then you could be proud of yourself. Absolutely. And then on top of that, you have more brain space because when you're fearful about something and when you're procrastinating, you have about 20% that's covered in your brain. So you only have 80% to work with. You only have 80%, you know, creativity.
Right.
Until you address that procrastination thing that's hanging around in the back of your mind like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit.
Right.
You're literally taking up brain space that you could be using and dictating on other things to be more, you know, better at what you're doing.
Well, and I would say watch your thoughts because we get so many thoughts a day, all of us, no matter who you are, how perfect you are, how not perfect you are. You get all these thoughts up to, I think it's like 6,000 thoughts a day, over 6,000. And so those are repetitive. And so we have to recognize, okay, I can self-sabotage myself with the thoughts that I think about myself and the things I say to myself and the way that I treat myself. And so it's being aware of how you act towards you. Do you love you?
Right.
You know,
let me ask you, Nikki. What did I tell you to do every single day?
Oh, yes.
I just told her this like, last week, 3 weeks ago or something?
Yeah.
I was like, Nikki, you need to do this every day. What did I tell you to do?
She said, look in the mirror, and I call it mirror talk. Look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful, love, powerful, all these wonderful things, all these attributes. And you just keep saying it on repeat every single day until you, because we were talking about raising your vibration, which is where I was going to go next. It's like, it's such a nice little term that everybody throws around. Oh, raise your vibration. What is that?
You know, what is raising exactly your vibration? Yeah.
And so you mentioned that just starting your day with that type, you know, I meditate and do all those things, but am I affirming me? And it's interesting because I've shared this with clients, but I don't always do it. So it's so nice to have people in your life that remind you those nice little reminders, you know, that, hey, you got to do this. Check in with you.
It works for people that have self-confidence issues, self-awareness, like not self-awareness, self-confidence. I mean, my self-esteem was completely shot after I got out of a horrible relationship about 8 years ago. And it was completely shot. I felt like I was the ugliest, stupidest, dumbest piece of crap in the whole entire world. And in order for me to bring myself and my self-love back, I had to stand in the mirror naked for every single morning for 2 years straight, telling myself how awesome I was until I believed it. It took me a while, but I ended up eventually believing it.
Oh yeah.
So that's one little hack, guys, one little hack that you can do. You might feel stupid in the beginning. You might feel dumb, but guess what? One day you're going to be standing in that mirror like, look at my body.
That's what I was doing. I was like, hey, girl.
Amazing. Yes, you got this.
I was like, you look cute today. Oh, yes. I like those curls. I like this and that. You
see? And then you start believing it. It's a powerful little thing that you can do that takes maybe 3 minutes in the morning. That's it.
I think for me, it's like, you know, I've had bouts of being super confident. And then it's like, oh, you know, go through something. It's like, oh, am I really confident? But I'm, you know, turning 50 soon and the premenopause is all happening. Shout out to my girls that are going through right now. But anyway, so it's like your body's changing, all these different changes. And it's like, okay, who am I again? You know, and so it's like that rediscovery process. And I had to tell myself that it doesn't have to be anything horrible. Yes. You know, I can embrace it and enjoy it. So I'm going to start sharing more about going through premenopause because people don't really talk about it.
No.
It's just like, oh, it's horrible. You know, you can't get through
it. It should not be horrible. Let me tell everybody right now, let's just throw that statement out the freaking window.
Out.
Because it does not need to be horrible. And I'm sorry, guys, if you're on here, just stick with us for a quick second.
Yeah,
women,
sorry, guys.
Your menopause, premenopause, aftermenopause, perimenopause, all this menopause stuff, it does not need to be horrible. It can be beautiful and you do not have to feel different, okay?
Absolutely.
You do not have to feel different. It's all about hormonal balance. That's what causes the changes and you start feeling different, right? So go get your hormones checked. If you're starting to feel like something's coming on, like the menopause is starting to come on, get your hormones checked and get your hormones in check.
Right.
And menopause will not be bad for you. I promise. Right. It shouldn't be.
Oh, no. I went to her doc and got my blood ran and everything like that. I got my hormones together. So I'm so much better.
Shout out to Life Gains.
Shout out.
Shout out to Life Gains. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. But you know what? There's just so much negative conditioning, right? So much negative conditioning that we just get slapped with all day, every day from the media, from people who are walking reactions, I call them. They're just programs in the matrix, literally walking around zombies that don't ever have any type of conscious thought. They're just literally reacting to the stimulus on the outside of them, which is very sad. But I mean, I guess it's just not for everybody in this life to be able to wake up to consciousness, which isn't okay because it's not for us to judge anybody for anything, right? That's a part of self-sabotaging.
That's true.
If you immediately are judging somebody, you might be self-sabotaging a beautiful relationship,
right?
With a friend, with a significant other.
I mean, you're not happy with yourself.
That's exactly it.
And
it's
so
just
you find
a mirror.
Errors and things in others, you know, and point those out. And there's like Dr. Joe Dispenza was saying this, and I know you've said it too. It's like there's an adrenaline rush that comes, and we can get addicted to the same hormones of stress if we continue same type of reactions, right?
We will.
So if we get excited talking about people and slandering their name and doing all this other stuff, like we are. I mean, we can get attracted to that. We can be, you know, addicted to that feeling and those hormones. What happens when we do that? Our chest reacts a certain way.
Are we going to fight or flight? Our body's going to fight or flight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to ask yourself. That's why I go back to being an observer of yourself. It's like, why am I so excited about tearing that person down? Mm-hmm. You know, let me pull back and let me just take the mirror and look at me. I'm looking back at myself.
Yes.
And see, what is it within me that's causing me to have joy and excitement about slandering somebody or making them feel bad or whatever? And is it that I'm addicted to those hormones of being
drama.
Negative?
Drama.
Yeah, drama.
If you guys find yourselves in a lot of drama a lot of the time, and I say this all the time. If you find yourself in drama a lot of time, you have to check yourself because you're probably addicted to your own stress hormones and you're creating the drama in your life because it's more comfortable for you than no drama.
Right.
Which is something I went through. So I can speak from experience.
Right.
And I was full of drama for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But now.
Drama magnet right here.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a little period between the drama life and then kind of go flowing into a very peaceful, calm life.
Right.
It might be a little bit boring here. You might feel a little bit like uptight and, oh God, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. But you have okay with those feelings because it is different. Mm-hmm. It is different. Your body is actually physiologically changing, like because you have to stop yourself from the addiction of the stress hormones.
Right. You have to let go of that toxic behavior.
Yes. And you have to let your body be peaceful. And it's a different feeling. So it's scary.
That part.
It is.
It's new. But the more you do it, the better you feel.
Exactly.
You know,
and then you'll never go back.
Right. Right. Or you limit your, you know, somebody calls you with something, you just kind of limit the amount of time that you would usually be on the phone or hanging out and, you know, doing that, just shift to something else.
Exactly.
Something lighter and brighter and fun. You know, these days we don't get back. And I always say today is a gift. And so if we just focus on today, and you did this the other day too. I love spending time with you because we're like driving down the street and you're like, focus on being present. And you're like, look at this, look at that or whatever. And so many times, and it really helped me because I'm like, how often do I let my thoughts kind of go, oh, yeah, start planning? Because I love to plan the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, we got to be present. We got to focus on that. So we miss out.
We miss so much beauty, you guys. We miss so much beauty on the daily because we're busy thinking about the next thing, the last thing, the now
the past thing.
It's like we are missing our lives because we are thinking about other things all the time. It's like, look at the beauty that surrounds us that is real. The only real thing that we have is this moment of right now. Right. And we waste it thinking about past issues. Oh, my
hurts,
God.
Fears.
That horrible fight. And I just hate guys. And I just hate women. And like, you're missing this beautiful moment of right now. Tripping over something that's not even real or present anymore.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. It's gone.
Or it hasn't happened yet. If it's the future.
Exactly.
It hasn't even happened yet. So
and if it is, you're manifesting your future.
That part.
So if you're thinking in your mind,
this is what I'm saying.
If you're out here, and I used to be, so I always speak from experience, guys, and I'm not judging. Right. But if you're out here, all men are dogs, all women are bees. Well, guess what? In your life, you're attracting all men who are dogs and all women who are bees.
Right.
So when I see people right on my post, and then sometimes Billy and I'll post a picture and they're like, oh my God, you guys are so gross and blah, blah, blah. Well, really?
Jealous.
Oh, she's going to cheat on you. She's going to leave you, Billy. You better be like all this bull crap, right?
Okay.
And but that is the perception of that person. So when I see those comments, I'm like, wow, I feel so bad for that person.
Right.
Because what did they experience in their life to make them feel that every woman is a cheater or every woman is going to leave? Because that is their situation, not mine. That has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with that person.
Right.
That's what judgments are, you guys. It has everything to do with you and nothing to do with the situation at hand when you're judging somebody.
Yeah. You have to be very careful with that, because I was listening to a podcast and it said you have to be fascinated with what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you and Billy, I feel like, are a power couple because you are doing it, right? You guys are in business together, in love together, raising a family together, all these things. Mm-hmm. And it's like you could have a lot of pressure on you to not be together, but you guys still make it work. And, you know, mm-hmm. someone should look at your relationship and be admiring of that relationship and fascinated with what you guys are doing that they can apply to their own lives.
Yes.
So I just feel that people a lot of times are jealous and they're insecure. Is it going to happen for me? And so the best way for them to respond to that, which is not the best way, it's the worst way. It's the only way that they may know of, is let me just slander. Let me say something negative. Let me say something mean to make them feel bad. It's just energy though. So when you are good at blocking energy, you're like,
it's good energy.
Go back.
You know,
back
there was a situation yesterday and you know, everybody goes through it. I had some real, like, it was only like two comments, but they were some real troll comments on a really fun. I mean, my husband and I posted some bomb ass pictures from our date that we had the other night. It was nice. And people on there hating. And I'm like, I got mad.
Yeah.
I did. Sometimes I let myself get mad because you can't always like, oh, I'm so spiritual. I'm not going to address this and I'm not going to let myself get. No, I was angry. I was angry and I let myself be angry and I understood that I was angry. And then later when my anger kind of filtered away, I thought about it and I'm like, okay, so why were you so angry? I always go into
that
myself. Mm-hmm. And figure out, is this about me? Is there something within me that needs to be addressed that caused me to be so angry about these comments? And I was thinking and thinking and thinking, but the more I thought about it, it's just, it's really reminded me of how much healing the world needs to do.
Right.
Because I can never imagine myself going to anybody like, you suck. You're ugly. You should be on OnlyFans. Oh my God.
Like, time on their hands. Please go do something productive.
I just don't have it in me. But you know what? I don't think that maybe me 20 years ago would have done the same thing and have judged the same way. Because it was, you know, it's unhealed stuff in here.
And it's unnecessary.
Yeah, it is unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
But we're always going to have it. See, there's always one. Not everybody is going to like you, and that is okay.
Yeah.
Not everybody likes me, and that is okay.
Or
not
me.
Not everybody likes you, and that
I'm okay
is
with
okay.
That.
And you have to just be okay with it.
I like me.
That's the only thing that matters. Do you like you?
Yes. Like you. Because the only time it does matter is if you don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so concerned about what somebody else thinks
is
about
thinking.
You or whatever. Because their version of you may not be full of truth. They may have some things,
mm-hmm.
you know, they may say, oh, she needs to work on this or that, talking about myself, but they don't know everything.
Yeah.
They don't know what I'm doing over here. They don't
exactly.
know what you're doing over here. They don't know how hard you work. I have seen how you guys work together and how you guys work independently, and you hustle all the time.
Yes, we do.
You know, so that has to be admired, you know, from afar.
Well, people don't see, people see the pretty things that that's put out there, you know, so they don't see the grind. The grind is boring.
Right.
The grind is us sitting at our desk for 8 hours.
Right.
Typing, you know, it's not interesting. So, yeah,
but
I mean, you know, it took for me, and this is for everybody to do. When you find yourself reacting in a big way to something, so you're triggered, or when you find yourself in judgment of another thing, person, or situation, go within yourself and figure out, hey, why am I judging this situation? Why was I judging this lady for saying that I should be on OnlyFans? And I don't even knock it. Who cares? Do OnlyFans. If that's what you want to do, do you.
Yes.
Do you and be proud of whatever it is that you want to do. Like, who cares? But I had to figure out, okay, this is probably from when I was getting bullied. Because I got bullied pretty bad when I was in elementary school. And I was just, I got bullied.
Yeah.
My eyes looked like this. You know, I was different looking. So it's like, you know, I got bullied. And that reminded me of that judgment of me and the bullying. So I was like, I went into myself and I'm like, you know what? This is not fifth grade. You are not being bullied right now. This lady is obviously something within herself is unhealed if she wants to just spat off some negativity on this beautiful post that we have. And I forgive you, let you go, and I hope you heal. Because I did respond.
You did.
Yeah, but then I deleted it.
Sometimes that's good though. That's therapy in itself.
It is.
You write it out and you get it out, and then you're like, okay. I don't know how many times I've done that, like with a text message. Mm-hmm. You know, like you write the text message.
Oh, you write the whole text message out and then you delete it all.
Never mind. Never
mind. That's a good. Okay, so let's talk about that. Other ways to stop self-sabotaging.
Yes.
Write it down.
Write
a letter to the person that you are angry at. Write a letter, even if the person has passed away. You know, I had to write letters to my dad. My dad died when I was 19 years old, and when he died, we were not in good terms. The last thing that we said to each other was a horrible. And so I had to let the anger go so I could forgive myself and forgive him.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
You can even burn it. You know,
exactly. I was just about to say that.
Yeah,
what I did is I wrote him letters and I went out at night and I burned it and I watched it just burn and float away and release.
So now when you think of him, what do you think?
Oh my God. Utmost respect. Peace. And I have no guilt. It was so hard for me to let go of the guilt because the last thing I said to him, this is horrible. The last thing I said to him, he was screaming at me and he was like, just yapping at me. And I'm like, you better stop screaming at me before you get a heart attack and die. And he's like, I hate you. And I'm like, I hate you too. That was literally the last conversation we had with each other until he visited me, which was like 2 weeks after he had passed over. Which he literally took, girl, he took my guilt away because I was in a place where I probably would have took myself out, to be honest. I was in such a dark place after that situation because I was like, oh my God, my words killed him. This is how I felt at the time. My words killed him and he didn't know how much I loved him because I said I hated him. That was the last word. And I refused to talk to him when he got sick because I didn't think he was going to die.
Right.
So imagine that guilt of what a person has to carry. I was 19 years old.
Wow.
I was not in a good mind state. I was full of trauma. I was doing drugs. I was doing real bad at the time. I was literally in the basement of my best friend. Rest in peace, TC. It's actually his birthday today.
Oh,
so shout out.
Birthday,
happy
TC.
Wherever you're at. Happy
wherever
birthday in this
yes.
life. But I was just, I couldn't even move, girl. I couldn't move. But he visited me. He came to my dreams. He visited me and he was like, listen, he didn't even communicate with me like words. He put his hand on my shoulder and I felt all of everything that he was thinking and saying. And he took all of that guilt from me and was like, I love you. And I was like, I love you too, daddy. And he floated away and I was like, daddy, don't leave me. No, it was one of the most, it was the realest experience I've ever had in my life. That experience was realer than me and you sitting here talking. So I know it was him.
Wow.
He knew that if he did not visit me and take my guilt from me, that I would have took myself out.
Wow.
And so thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Dad.
Thanks for taking that away from me. So it's forgiveness.
Oh,
forgiveness.
Yes.
That is another
yourself
thing.
And others.
Yes.
Forgiving yourself.
Forgiveness creates peace within.
It does. And letting go. And that's the part that's sometimes hard. You want to hold on to it because it does feel good sometimes.
Yes.
When you're in that toxic state to feel mad and upset. And you're justified, right? I've got all these reasons why I can feel this way. And sometimes, guys, those justifications are right. You do have a right to feel that way, but you get to choose. Mm-hmm. Do I want to stay with this? Because what comes with unforgiveness is the heaviness of that emotion, the energy of that emotion. Mm-hmm. And you can become toxic because you're carrying around all of this unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness. It creates bitterness, resentment.
It does.
That is low level, low vibe. That brings your vibration down.
Down.
Carrying all that stuff. You got to let it go. Yes. You have to understand that life gives you what you are meant to have. And if something goes away, then let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go because it was not meant for you on your path.
And with gratitude, you can let it go with gratitude.
I always do. Yes.
Yeah. Because that person didn't have to be in your life. So because they were, they're a part of your story and they were supposed to be in your life. They're supposed to be your dad, your friend, your whatever,
co-worker,
you name it. And so since they are and have been, then receive that.
Yes.
As that. And remember the good times as much as you can.
Absolutely.
You know, focus on those because they're important too.
Yeah. I think it's like, it brings a lot of peace to me to really, really know deeply and have the deep understanding that life is what it is. You have to stay in flow.
Right.
No resistance, you know, no resistance. Right. Let things come towards you. Let things go. Let things flow to you. Let things flow out. And if you are like that, then you really just, life is just what it is. And there is no mistake. There is no negative things that happen. There is no nobody leaving that's not supposed to go. It's just like you have a deep understanding that, hey, this is my life and it is okay. And your perception upon your life is that there is no mistakes. There's only lessons. And those lessons are there to teach you something in that moment in time that you needed to learn.
Absolutely. So you can go on to the next level. That's the part. You don't have to stay stagnant on that level. And I remember Courtney has always said this and I like it.
That shout out to Courtney Kane Sides in the
Courtney.
Chat.
But that the people that we've lost have were our teachers.
Yes.
You know, and something you can say that's simple, which I use a lot of times, is thank you for being my teacher. You know, and there's a hope. It's called Ho'oponopono poem.
Ho'oponopono.
Yes.
Ho'oponopono. I have that as a screensaver.
Oh, you do?
On my phone.
Yes. I love you. Thank you.
I forgive you.
And I'm sorry.
Yes.
I think it starts with, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
There you go. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you do know I have that on my phone, on the screen. When I'm feeling uptight and angry about something or I'm feeling like I can't let something go, I'll put that on my phone screen so I can even not unconsciously glance at it throughout my day. Right.
And yes, it's so powerful.
Really just it just rolls off. It does.
And you can send it to somebody else. Like you can send that same prayer to somebody else.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you.
I love you over and over again until it lives.
Yes.
If you have, you know, some negative emotions.
That gave me chills. Everybody's saying that. Everybody say Ho'oponopono out loud right now. It gives you chills.
Yes. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. You can add names to it or not add names. Say it to yourself. You know, we have so much to apologize to ourselves for, but
we do.
Do we say, I love you? You know, I was doing a meditation class the other day and I asked the people that attended, I said, hug yourself. I said, how often, when's the last time you hugged yourself? And everybody's looking around. There was a couple in the room and they're just like, oh yeah, we hug each other, but I don't hug myself.
Right.
So it's like that self-compassion and that self-love can also help chip away at the self-sabotage too.
Oh, it does. So. It does. And body love, right? I talk about this in my book, body love. So getting out the shower when you put lotion on, love on your body. I love you, arm. You bicep, you tricep, you great bicep.
We worked you out
your
today.
Your forearm. Look at you, pointer finger and middle finger and ring finger. Like you have to love on yourself. Our bodies don't hear that enough. Our bodies don't hear that enough.
I started talking to my hair. I'm
do
like,
it, guys.
Oh, I love you. I love you. The curls, the nap, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's deep and it does work. That's another thing I had to do during the time when I was trying to heal myself. When I was talking to myself naked in the mirror, I was also getting out the shower and rubbing my body and telling my body how much I loved my body. Oh, I was just about to put this in the chat, guys.
Hold on.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It is a game changer.
Yeah. And the doctor that made it, didn't he like heal so many people in a hospital or something like that? I was reading some research about him.
Yes.
Yeah. So look it up. It's powerful.
It is a powerful statement. It's a very, very powerful statement. Let's try to address one more thing. What else should we talk about real quick before we get out of here? That's important as far as self-sabotage goes. What is your biggest, the biggest piece of advice that you would give to people that are self-sabotaging? Or how do you even become aware that you're self-sabotaging?
Your thoughts. Mm-hmm. It's all in our thoughts, guys. Like the repetition of our thoughts. And one exercise I've shared with clients before is take a piece of paper and just monitor your thoughts for like a week. If that's too long, fine. One day, you know, 30 minutes, you know, some that's too long. It's overwhelming. I get it.
Well, so that's what meditation is for too. Guys.
Right. Mm-hmm. So monitor your thoughts, write them down, you know, and then I want you to put like, you can put past, present, future, and then like do check marks, you know, am I having thoughts mostly in the past, the present, the future, what have you, and what type of thoughts am I having? And I guarantee, because research says we have 85 to 95% negative thoughts a day. That's everybody. It didn't say just Nikki and Liz. It said everybody. So that's what our brains are doing. So we observe that that's what our brains are doing. We write that down and then we just start canceling those. It's like, okay, I'm not thinking that anymore. I have thought this for 50 years. Mm-hmm. I've thought I'm not good enough for 50 years. So today I'm not. And I'm going to prove it to myself how I'm not good, how I am good enough. I'm going to go out and I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I'm going to go and I'm going to work out. I'm going to go and I'm going to eat right. I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to go and I'm going to do something different with my hair. I'm going to go and I'm going to hang out with my friends. I'm going to go and I'm going to call somebody that I hadn't talked to in a long time. I'm going to reconnect. I'm going to meditate. So don't just look at it and say, oh, man, I'm thinking really bad all the time. But be aware and say, OK, I'm going to change this. I'm going to shift this because those thoughts, a lot of times the negative ones are so stressful.
Yeah.
And stress is killing us.
It almost you stress
me.
Yourself out.
It literally almost killed me. So
we stress ourselves out. Why are you so stressed? Well, you stress yourself out. You're literally doing it to yourself all the time.
Right.
Stress is caused by our thoughts.
Right.
So yes, address your thoughts.
Be aware of those. And then you may be in a relationship or with connected to somebody that's kind of contributing to that. Right. So it's like you may be wanting to be more self-aware. You may be wanting to love yourself more or whatever, but you have somebody in your ear that's saying negative things to you and kind of playing into that and pouring into the way you feel already, which is toxic too.
Yes.
So it's, if you, you know, cannot remove yourself from that relationship right away, then you just have to tune up yourself by consistently saying more positive things 100% of the time, you know, just, it's almost think of it like reps, right? So it's like, okay, I'm going to continue working this muscle of positivity and encouraging myself. And nobody's perfect. Even if you have made mistakes or what have you, do little things to start changing and becoming better and stronger so that you can feel confident. Mm-hmm. And so when you have those self-sabotage thoughts, you can say, oh no, that's how I used to be. I'm not thinking that. I'm not feeling that way anymore.
Awareness.
I'm going to feel this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Awareness is key.
Yeah.
Awareness is key in this, guys. My piece of advice for people when they're feeling icky inside is to get present always, 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 always.
So
what I do when I'm full of emotion that is quote unquote negative, I don't find emotion to be negative. I just think it is emotion. It just is.
You
emotions
say,
just
feel it.
Are.
You feel it. You can't
they just
it.
Are. Exactly. Emotions just are, guys. There is no really negative emotion. Anger is not a negative emotion. It's just showing you something that you need to see. So it's like, don't stop diminishing our emotions. Let's feel our emotions. That's number one. I go into my body. Where am I feeling this emotion? Oh, I feel this emotion right here. My anger. Okay. This is anger. It's pulsating. What else is it doing? It's radiating. What else is it doing? When did it start? Is it going to stop? I just put awareness in your body where you're feeling it. And then realize, take a deep breath. Maybe try to therapy yourself and get to the root of that issue. But if you're not feeling that at that time, then just look around.
Right.
Look around look at things that are beautiful, because that will take you out of stress. Go into your body, pay attention to it. That will dissipate the emotion and it will bring you down to the point where you can pay attention to the trees and look at the flowers and look at the little birdie over there chirping and look at, you know, you can you can figure out things to be grateful for. Be grateful. When you're grateful, your brain releases oxytocin. And what does oxytocin do? It stops cortisol, adrenaline, all of the stress hormones. Right. It brings them down. So when your oxytocin goes up, your stress goes down. Yes. So figure out ways how to enhance your oxytocin. I say, go look at your dog in the eye. Mm-hmm. Go pet your animals. Go give your, yeah. You know, go give your kid a hug. Yes. Go give your husband or wife a hug. Mm-hmm. Get some oxytocin going, some appreciation, some Absolutely. Gratefulness, and that will lower your stress. It is proven.
Absolutely.
It's proven.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And go towards the fear, because a lot of times we have fear.
Don't run away from
the
fear.
We run.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, go towards it. Be present in mm-hmm. the relationship and the friendship and
yes.
communicate and let them know what's going on. So. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It is good. Okay, guys, we had an exciting mm-hmm. announcement today. We launched the Arsht Center tickets for the awards.
Yay.
The Conscious Awards 2024, August 4th in Miami at the Arsht Center are live on the website, you guys. So we're just going to play
get
this. We played at the beginning. Get your tickets. It's going to be amazing this year. So.
Hey everyone, I'm Elizabeth Carson and I'm thrilled to introduce to you an extraordinary weekend event happening right here in Miami, Florida on August 3rd and 4th. It's none other than the second annual Forbidden Conscious Awards weekend. After the tremendous success of last year's event with over 1,200 attendees from around the globe, we knew we had to make this year's event even more spectacular. On Saturday, we have a captivating conference lined up featuring world-renowned speakers such as Muhammad Ibrahim, Merkaba 13, Robert Grant, Billy Carson, and a woman's panel hosted by yours truly. Following the conference, we'll set sail for a VIP yacht cruise at sunset, where you'll have the chance to mingle with your favorite nominees and celebrity guests, all hosted by 19 Keys. Sunday, August 4th, kicks off with a Forbidden Knowledge book publishing signing event, followed by the highly anticipated second annual Forbidden Conscious Awards. This is a red carpet affair, so come dressed to impress. Remember last year, we surprised a lucky guest with an Audi A4 during the awards, and this year, we're upping the ante with a chance to win a Mercedes-Benz. So make sure you secure your tickets early. This event is sure to sell out quickly. I cannot wait to see each and every one of you there for what promises to be an unforgettable weekend of education, inspiration, celebration, and glamour.
Glamour, guys. It is glamour. A black tie affair. Black tie affair, you guys.
Yes.
I think it's super fun because we don't really get very many opportunities to dress our best in gowns yes. and tuxedos. So this is really an opportunity for us to come out, dress up, right. feel nice, look nice,
the
shake
energy,
hands with the best of them.
It's the energy for me, guys. Mm-hmm. Like if you attended last year, just fire up the chat with it because it literally, everybody I talked to, I was interviewing people on the red carpet, but every single person was like, I've never felt this kind of energy. Like it was so electrifying.
Oh yeah.
And I really believe this because it was the first.
Oh yeah.
You know, you guys were literally birthing the Conscious Awards.
We did.
In the world.
We
you
did.
Know, the only one. So
yes.
you have to be here if you didn't get a chance to come last year, or if you did, come back.
Yes.
It's
yes.
gonna be better.
Come back. Visit that link, you guys, that link. I dropped that
yes.
link that goes to the Arsht Center for the actual awards. So that will get you tickets into the award show. If you guys want to join us on the VIP yacht cruise or you
yes.
want to come to the conference and learn some stuff, then visit this link. I'm going to drop it right here. Sign up. We have the conference tickets and the VIP yacht cruise tickets available.
Yes.
We have Giorgio Tsoukalos from Ancient Aliens that will be the host of the actual
oh, yes.
award
That's
show.
So right.
The VIP yacht party is going to be hosted by 19 Keys and we'll have all of our celebrity invited guests
yes.
and all of the nominees. Make sure you guys vote. We will be tallying votes here coming up pretty
really
soon, you guys.
Soon.
So get your votes in. And yeah, I mean,
vendor tables.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsors.
Vendors and sponsors.
Yes.
Contact me.
Yes. Get your business out there, guys. This is a perfect place to do it
because
there'll be thousands of people there. So if you're a business owner or you want, you know, want to sponsor.
Or you guys want to sponsor
yeah,
this event.
We
expect over 1,500 people from all over the world,
yeah.
guys. So if you guys are interested in sponsorship or getting a vendor table, then email business@forbiddenknowledgewiththenumber4.com and we will set it up for you. But thank you so much, everybody, for
thank
joining
you.
Us today. We appreciate you so much. Make sure you guys
yes.
hit that like button and share. I hope that everyone got a little bit of value out of today.
Right.
And it's always a pleasure being live with my girl, Nikki Speaks. Every time you're here, we're about to do a live, you guys. So you guys are going to see her much more. And yeah, Nikki's on our team. She is on the Forbidden Knowledge team. So she is one of the people behind the scenes working their tails off to make our company grow, expand, so we can end up helping more people, which is the goal. Okay.
Yeah. And I just appreciate you guys so much because I was really stressed, you know, just dealing with psychotherapy and everything like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so just being able to work with you all in this capacity has been amazing. First of all, you guys are my friends, but it, you know, it's even bigger than that. You know, for me, I love being a part of a movement and I love being a part of birthing.
Oh, we're definitely a movement.
We are. We literally are. And so it's so exciting every time I'm around you guys or just see what you're doing on social media. It's just like, man, you know. Just to be in that energy is like freaking amazing. So get here. They're some of the nicest people. You know, I know that you may think, oh, I don't know what to say to them. They're celebrities. But they're like so down to earth. Like this girl is hilarious. Like she is my sister. Okay. Like totally. So Memphis and thanks.
I know. I love you, Nikki. Thank
love
you so
too.
Much. I appreciate you. Thank everyone in the chat.
Thank
I love
you
all you guys. And yeah. Oh, make sure you guys join tomorrow for Courtney Caneside's podcast starting at 7:30 Eastern. Okay. Make sure you guys pop back in for Courtney Caneside's podcast 7:30 tomorrow. And then Matthew LaCroix and Billy Carson will be live at 8:35 tomorrow. Okay. Talking all about all different
ancient
types of stuff.
Aliens and stuff. Like,
I mean, yeah, they actually are. So yeah, that's right. So they will be. So yeah. Come back tomorrow, guys. Our network is full of shows. We're almost at 1 million subscribers on this channel. So round of applause for all
more
of us.
To come.
Love you guys. All right.
Love you guys.
Peace, peace, everybody. Have a great, I don't even know what day it is, but have a good week.
Tuesday.
Okay. Oh, Tuesday. All right. Peace, peace, peace and love.
Bye.
This is Billy Carson with ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. Forbidden Knowledge TV has just reached its 1 year anniversary. That's right, 1 year. And as a show of appreciation, we are giving all new subscribers a free 30-day trial of ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. That's 30 days to binge watch thousands of movies, documentaries, conferences, workshops, lectures, yoga classes, meditation courses, and so much more. So log on to ForbiddenKnowledge.tv from your computer or mobile device, or get the Forbidden Knowledge TV app on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play today and use coupon code 30DAYSFREE. That's coupon code 30 days free on ForbiddenKnowledge.tv today.